Joel's going to come out here and he's going to talk about the why we do what we do. And so it's just kind of a reminder, a refresher of what 514 is all about. It's going to be broken into two parts. He's going to speak two times. Before you get up and leave, we're still going to do about the same amount of time total. We will leave on normal time, so he's not going to go long. He may go a little long, but it won't be crazy. And his first part is going to be he's going to talk about the why we do what we do. The second part, after a song, we are going to talk about what we do and what we're going to do in the future. So it's exciting. I'm excited to be part of it. The first service, the first part of the first service especially, was fantastic, and there's no possible way that you can't be moved by what Joel's about to speak on. And so for those of you who are new to 514 or you're new to church in general, don't leave, stay. Like I said, it's going to be a little different, but there's still this message of hope, and you're going to hear how 514 cares about you, and we love you, and we want you guys here and what we're doing for you. So with all that being said, let's get right into it and bring Joel onto the stage. Joel, come on out here, and how about a round of applause for Joel, our lead pastor who does so much for this church.
You're going to want to wait till I'm done to do that, okay? Just hold on. So here's the deal. Today is not like normal church Sunday. Today is core meeting. So we've said for the past 6 weeks that today is the day where if you call this place your home, if you are on board with us, you've been to Come Fly with Me, you call yourself a member, you are part of this church, that this is the day to come, because we can't get everyone together, so we're taking a Sunday to get everyone together to get back on the same page. Because God did something really flipping sweet in my life when he said, go and bring this church experience, one that says we love everybody no matter what's going on in their life, no matter what they believe, no matter what they think, no matter how smart they are or not. You love everybody, and don't go to Chicago and don't go to Atlanta to build a church or be a part of a church that does that already. Bring one to Columbus, Ohio. And in 2007, I went on a walk, and as I was walking, I just was like, oh, I'm supposed to bring this to New Albany. I was walking through New Albany. Supposed to be just a leader in bringing a church that says, we care about you. You don't have to believe what we believe. And see, for some of us, you from the very beginning have heard the mission, the vision of 514 Church, but you forget it, and so do I. I forget it. I forget why we do what we do. You know what I do sometimes? I sometimes think that church, that my relationship with God, that what we do here is about me. I know you don't do that, but I do that. Sometimes I'm like, you know, this is all about me. Like, I want to do what I want to do. I want to get what I want to get. And from the very beginning, we've said that our vision and mission is to go and make disciples and to bring people into a growing relationship with Christ. But what happens is that no matter how much I say it, and that's why we have this out here, is vision leaks. Like if I just tell you like 100 times, like, you guys, we're supposed to create a dynamic worship experience for all ages using modern technology and relevant language because people think the church is stupid, people think it's boring, people think that God hates them. So we need to show them that that's not true, because if you freaking know Jesus, then he's moved in your heart. And you go, I want people to know God. So let's not just go ho-hum. We need to remember that we're supposed to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. And no matter how many times you hear it, we just go, you know what? I want to make it about me. I want to like have the programs that I want. I want it to do this. I want to do that. And you come in here and you can lose sight of the fact that as soon as you give your heart to Jesus, your job is to now grow as a Christian follower of Christ to bring other people into a relationship with Jesus. That's it. Jesus was smarter than anyone. He's all-powerful God. And you know what he did? He emptied himself. And he said, it's not about me. It's not about me, Joel. It's not about you. It's not about me. Come on, come on, come on. It's not about us. 514 Church is about the people who are not here. And it's a group of people that fall in love with Jesus and they grow, so they go. That's what we're for. We are supposed to be people who genuinely put other people's interests in front of our own. How about I use like the English language appropriately? this morning for all of you. Way to articulate that. You guys, today, that's what I'm saying. If you're a Christian and you call this place home, this should either like resonate with you like a tuning fork. I mean, this should just feel like, yes, that is what I'm about. Or you should go, I thought it was something else, and it should move you to, yes, now that's what I'm about. Or you hear it and you go, I don't agree with you. I don't think that's what church is about. I don't think that's what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do. And if that's you, then you just need to know, I love you. I have friends that go to different churches, that work at different churches, that do different things, that think different things, and I love them just the same. But today, I'm going to lay out for this church why we believe that we are supposed to be a group of people who have been captivated by the love of Jesus and therefore go and care about the people that aren't and see them become captivated by the love of Jesus. So by the end of this, you're either going to be on fire or you're going to be confused or you're going to be mad or whatever it is, but today is the day. It's just going to be clarifying the vision. No matter how many times I say it, it leaks. You put it in your head, you think about it, you pray about it, you read scripture, you look at the fact that Jesus came to this planet, he emptied himself, he let go of his needs, and he said, I'm going to care for their needs. He didn't care what he knew and how powerful he was. He actually let go of some of his power, and then what we do is we just forget, you know, it's about me, I want to do this thing for me. We're supposed to be the people that are profoundly different, profoundly unique in a world full of people captivated by me, me, me. We are supposed to be people who are captivated by the brokenness that we see all around us. Since the beginning, the mission of our church, the mission, so here's how I've set this up. There's the mission, this is what we're trying to accomplish, and then there's the vision, how we accomplish it. So it's a little bit more like mission, what we're trying to do, what God has told us to do, vision, strategy. Here's our strategy for doing what God said. You see, Jesus made it really, really clear that we're supposed to go and make disciples. So our goal is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. That means we have to find people that don't have one, lead them into one, help them grow so that they can go and lead people into it. The biggest, most important piece of the Christian faith, when it's truly mature and fleshed out, is that you bring glory to God by seeing other people follow Jesus. That's maturity. Maturity is, it's become about me. Or it's not become about me, it's become about them. That's maturity. And a lot of us think it's discipleship, I need to grow, I need to learn more things, I need a Bible study, da 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 da. That's not maturity. That's information. We're supposed to lead people into a growing relationship, help them follow Jesus, and then go and find other people that don't know Jesus and help them follow Jesus. That's maturity, living out what he asked us to do. Jesus said the whole thing. You want to know what's most important? Love God, love others. Love God, love others. Share truth with these people, engage with these people, and lead them into a growing relationship with Christ. So here's the deal. What we've said is that our vision is to create a dynamic worship experience. We want to use the language that people kind of understand so we can connect with people where they are, because people do not think that church is for them. I'm going to talk more about that as we go. We believe that we are supposed to have a dynamic experience, one that says this is who God is, and if you don't believe in us and you don't believe in God, you can still come here. I don't care if you don't think like I think. None of us think alike. None of us. We all don't agree on the same stuff. So if somebody comes in, they have a different lifestyle, they have a different decision that they believe, they have a different political point of view, I don't care. I don't care. You can come in and come from any perspective. I don't care. You and I don't have to agree on everything. What I believe is that I'm supposed to love you regardless of what you think and how you feel. I don't care. I don't need you to like me. I don't need you to love. I want you to see that Jesus loves you. And I don't need to be right and you be wrong. I don't need to be right. I want you to know that we love you. I'm not going to try to argue with you. I'm going to tell you what I think. In here, an intentional connection through small groups. We believe that the 1-2 punch for this church is that if you engage into an experience on Sunday morning where people from any walk of faith, any belief system, anywhere, any spot on the journey of life, they can come in here and we recognize that they're here. And we say, you know what? We're glad you're here. We love that you're here. And this stuff, it's changed us, and we think it can change you too, and we want you to take it some time and just look at it, and since you're here, we're going to tell you what we think, and then we want you to take these principles, maybe like think them through, and then go. And maybe you'll end up in a relationship with Jesus. And you guys, here's the deal. I'm going to break this down, okay, because Jesus Christ is our master. He is God in a bod. Like, we forget this, don't we? We forget that God became flesh and dwelt among us. And when he came down to this planet and he said, you know what, I'm going to grow up, I'm going to be born, I'm just going to be God with us, Emmanuel, Christmas time, happy holidays, like we're going to do all that, and then I'm going to grow up, and then I am going to take 3 years, and I am going to go to the cross. And when I go to the cross, again, you guys, just, I'm talking to church people right now, you understand? Today's for church people. If you're not a church person, I'm going to use a bunch of words, and I'm going to just go to theological ideas that you may not even understand or like or whatever. And I'm glad you're here, but I'm going there. Jesus Christ came to this earth to go to the cross. He went to the cross because every person was separated from God because of sin. And so he went to the cross to die on the cross in our place because we deserve death. So he said, no, I'm going to be the substitutionary atonement. I'm going to die in your place. And if you embrace my death, it will give you life. So Jesus, for 3 years, he started to tell a bunch of people about the kingdom of God. And then on the cross, he paved a way to a relationship with God. When he first started, he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to get a couple of like normal humans. And I am going to say, you guys need to understand what I'm about to do in the next 3 years. And you guys need to take it and do it as well. And when he went, after he had been baptized, to build his team, his core group of followers, when he went to build his team, he laid out in the invitation for these men who were fishermen to build this team, he laid out for them the entire process of growth, supernatural growth, evangelism, discipleship, just in the question. In Matthew 4:19, this is what Jesus said when he went to these men who were fishing. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and you will become a fisher of men. If you follow me, the end result will be you go fishing. He doesn't say, follow me and you will be really, really smart. He doesn't say, follow me and you will be really, really right. Like, you'll be more right than the people around you. He doesn't say, follow me and you'll be better than the people around. He says, no, no, no. If you follow me, and the word follow me is this concept that we talk about, discipleship, growth. If you emulate Jesus, he says, look, I want you guys, I'm a teacher, if you follow me. You see what you're doing right there? You're fishing for fish. I'm going to teach you to go fish for men. So basically what Jesus said is the whole process between you dropping your nets and following me is going to be, I'm going to train you. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm going to show you who I am. We're going to have real conversations. And then the fruit of following will be you fish for people. They spent 3 years with Jesus. His closest friend denied him. He had breakfast with him later. He jumped out of the water and he sat down and he said, so Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Then go and feed my sheep. Go and reach the people. Go and tell them. All of this is about you going to fish. That's where we started. That's where it ends. When we become disciples, the most spiritual depth we will ever experience is when we become fishers of men. Fishers of men. We are supposed to be a group of people who grow so that we go. We are supposed to come together and not just know information. We are supposed to be people who literally are supercharged with the Holy Spirit of God, that we look at every single person that is in our community, in our neighborhood, wherever we are, and we go, that person is loved by God so much that if I don't somehow relate who God is to them, I am not doing what God has called me to do. We follow to become fishers. That's it. Look what Jesus said. Hey guys, follow me you're going to fish. Now, some of you are going, man, I don't even know. Well, I don't even know enough Bible. Do you see? That's a lie. You think you have to know a lot of the Bible to go fish? You think that Jesus sat down with his disciples and said, hey, guys, now we're going to study the book of Daniel. Open up to Daniel chapter 1. Let's look at Daniel together. Daniel, they didn't study. They walked around and he encountered people. And the whole process was they were being trained to see how the simple truth of love could flesh itself out. That's the gospel. You guys ever seen Karate Kid? We're Karate Kid. How does Karate Kid grow? Hey, you know, Mr. Miyagi, since you saved me from all those skeleton guys, like, I want to learn how to fight them too. So Mr. Miyagi brings him over and he says what? Anybody remember? Wax on, he says, paint the fence. Paint the fence. And so he's like, okay, all right, this old man is just like, he's having me do this really stupid stuff, so okay, I'm going to paint the fence. Remember, he paints the fence all day long. And then he comes back and he says, sand the floor. And he sands the floor. And he's so jacked, he's so mad. Remember Karate Kid? He's so mad. And the old Karate Kid, way better than the Will Smith Karate Kid. Okay, by the way, where he's like doing the thing with the coat, like that wore me out. Okay, go look at the old Karate Kid, all right, where he's like actually building this like lustrous backyard. Okay, so like he's like painting fence and he's like sanding the floor, and then Mr. Miyagi comes out and like he's all like mad. He's like, I thought you were gonna teach me karate. And you remember what Mr. Miyagi does? He goes, oh, show me sand the floor. Show me paint the fence. And he goes, yeah. Everything he did was to train him to fight. We follow to fish. The purpose of coming together is to go out. We're not here just to have fun. We're here to grow. We're here to grow so we can go. And this room, 514 Church, the large group experience, is always going to say, you guys are the head. You're the beginning. You're the tip of the sword. You've got to go and find the people. You've got to relate to them. Do you know that this whole thing is about relationship? The entire thing is about a relationship. It's a relationship with God and a relationship with people. How many relationships do you have that you're so right about that, like you only engage them when you're smarter than them and you know more than them and you've memorized enough scripture so that you can put it in front of them? You see, we need to be people that memorize people, not just scripture in the Bible. Look, I love scripture. I love the Bible. It is the words of life. It fills me up. But you know what? The reason that I study it is to go and spend time with people. That's the purpose. So that I can love people. The maturation of my walk with God is to love other people and share that God loves them. So everything we do is supposed to be this relationship-driven thing. Listen. I went to like Bible school. I had Greek for 3 years. Okay, I had to like write out the entire book of 1 John in Greek. All right? I have, when I study the passage, Matthew 4:19, I have this Bible software. I read 40 commentaries on one verse. I am smart. I gotta tell you, I am way smarter than most of you, except Warren's out there. Warren Hildebrand. Everybody know Warren Hildebrand is back in town? Warren and Louise thought they were gonna move to Florida. God rerouted them back to Columbus, Ohio, and they're here. They're back a part of our church. So you need to love on them and say hi to them. We love you, Warren and Louise. Look, I'm smarter than most of you, but Warren. Okay? I literally like unpack like the Greek and the this and the that and blah, blah, blah. You know what helps is when you take the simple truths and you apply them. Maturity is about you becoming the picture that Christ has said, here's what you're supposed to become. And you know what he said when he like summed it all up? Love God, love people. That's what he said. That's what it's about. You know who were the smartest people during Jesus' day besides Jesus? The Pharisees. They were smart. They were actually supposed to, did you know this? The Pharisees were supposed to point out the Messiah to the people of Israel. Wow, being smart gets you somewhere fast, doesn't it? They saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with all of this amazing history that lined up, born in Bethlehem, come out of Egypt, and here's this guy, a Nazarene, whoa, Jesus Christ, he's calling himself God, let's get him crucified. That means that you can know a lot of stuff and still do horrible things. You know why? Because knowledge puffs up. It just makes you think you're smart and prideful and blah, 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 blah. You know what changes is love. Love edifies. It's humility. It's not about being right. It's about relationship. So this week on Twitter, I put this article on there. This Catholic priest from Cleveland, he studied 21 Pilots, and he learned that 21 Pilots was a Christian band. And they put it in their record album. It said in there, to our 514 church home, and it said to the Son of God. And so what happened is this Catholic priest, he said, if they're Christians, why don't they just come out and say that they're Christians? And the whole reason was is they said they've learned to encounter before you evangelize. You see, yeah, you need to build relationships with people. This church is about coming in on Sunday, worshiping God in a way so that anyone that doesn't know God can still be a part of that worship. And we recognize them and we say, you're here and you are supposed to be here. You can be one of us. All can enter. And then it's supposed to be that we have relationships with people out there, with people that don't agree with us, they don't think like us, they don't act like us, and that's why you exist, to spend time with people that don't think like you, that don't act like you. They're not going to. What are we thinking? Are we looking to just buddy-buddy up with people that just agree with everything we say and act like we do? We're supposed to encounter people. We're supposed to show them love. We are not supposed to start off with, here's what's right, you're wrong, I'm right, and here's how it needs to be. It needs to be, I accept you. I love you. I'm kind towards you. You are not going to win your enemies to Christ. You will not. Rick Warren said, you don't win your enemies to Christ, you win your friends. You got to build relationships with people that are lost. You got to build relationships with people that are broken. There's four empty chairs right here. There are people out there right now that don't believe the church is relevant at all. They don't think we care. They don't think that they think that we just want to be right and we just want to have our own little culture. It's just all about us. They think that we're boring. They think we're judgmental. I'm not that way. 514 Church is not that way. Look, in 2007, I got to tell you, and this is just, again, this is not a sermon. I'm just like unloading, Kenny. I'm like not even thinking about it. Okay? My favorite movie growing up, Mary Poppins. All right? I don't even care what you say. Julie Andrews was hot. I mean, let's be real. When I was a kid, I was like, a spoonful of sugar. And then I was like 18, I was like, dang, carpet bag. Mary Poppins, dude, it's a story of bringing joy to a family that's falling apart. That's what the story is. Blew my mind when I learned later what it was really about. Because my dream is that every single person needs hope. They have this house or they have this like project at school or they're in high school and they think that they should kill themselves or whatever they're going through. And it's like that God brings in this hope and there's this voice that says, I love you. You're precious. John 15:16, my life first. You don't have to have a life first to be a good Christian. I just happen to have one because I came from the generation that said, in order for you to be a good Christian, you have to have a life first. So I said, okay, here's my life first. John 15:16. Jesus says this, for you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. Whatever you ask in my name, it will be given to you. And when Jesus said that to me, what I believed, and you got to hear this, what I believed, I really believed it. I really, truly believed that God loved me. I just did. I was like, man, he really, okay, he loves me. And then I like even tested him and I like stole something. And I was like, he still loves me. I'm serious. When I was a little kid, I stole something. The first time they put Jolly Ranchers in like the long pack, I stole them from UDF. I didn't get caught, but I stole them, I'm telling you. Like, I was like, he still loves me even when I do something wrong? He still cares about me? Man, that's different. That's special. Don't you want to be a part of something that's fresh? Love people regardless. You see, the vision of our church to create a dynamic experience on Sunday morning that anyone can come into that assumes very little interest and very little knowledge. The vision for that is a solution to a problem. Here's the why. I believe, and you know this to be true, that every single family, every single person in this room, even Christians that are still on their journey, are in a state of crisis. You have a crisis. You are struggling. And then the people that don't know Jesus, they're blind in a crisis. They're walking around a room with knives on the wall, blindfolded. They're in crisis. And so I said, you know what? Jesus Christ brought himself to my crisis. The love of Jesus came into my crisis. My family had its crisis. It's not worse or better than anybody else's. We had our crisis, but right in the middle of it was Jesus. And I stand here today because I learned that he loved me. Jesus was my Mary Poppins. I know it's weird. I'm weird. I don't even care. Spoonful of Jesus will make the medicine go down. If I did half of the series that I thought of, you guys would never come back. We are in crisis, and you are in crisis, and here's the bigger crisis. This is the part where I got mad. So, like, this is where, like, take my shirt off and do 10 push-ups and run around the building 5 times. Like, when I was in the 5th grade and I got mad about my family breaking up, I ran out the door and I did laps out in front of the building. And the teachers were like, oh, dang. He is really mad, but he's getting faster. I mean, like, I was just, like, literally, like, came unglued. Here's where I came unglued. People do not believe that Christ can help their crisis. You know why? Because they don't think the church cares. They don't think the church is there for them. New study, this guy that does all these national statistics said this. Over 75% of those 19 to 29 say that Christianity is judgmental, boring, and anti-homosexual. You want me to tell you if homosexuality is right or wrong? Right now. You know what I can tell you? I'm not boring, I'm not judgmental, and I'm not anti-homosexual. I love every person. And every person that is struggling has the same struggles in a different way. We are all a mess. And I want to communicate that God loves them. I'm sorry, I am not boring. I have fun. I love God tremendously and I enjoy life. The people that work at the office with me probably want me to leave. I sit in the office for 10 minutes, I study something and I run out and I'm like, oh my gosh, did you think about this? And they're like, dude, you are making a mess. I'm like, I know, I'm just excited. Because people are in crisis and they don't think that we can help them. Judgmental? Listen to this. I am not a judge who sits on a throne of righteousness with a black robe and a big gavel and I say, you're more wrong than me. I believe that my brokenness is the same as any brokenness. And I believe that God saved me. I believe that he loves me. I believe that he loves me so much that he died for me. And I am not going to let a particular problem that someone may have stop me from communicating that love. And neither should you. 91% of young non-churchgoers say that those three phrases describe what we're doing right now. Boring, judgmental, anti-homosexual. That's what they think we are. That's what they think we are. The people out there think we're boring. They think we're judgmental, and they think that we pick certain sins and say, oh, that's worse. You can't come in. Is that you? That is not me. I don't care what your struggle. I operate from the assumption that everyone's in crisis. And I don't have to prove somebody right for them to, like, be friends with me, or wrong for me to be friends with them. I don't care. They must not know us. They must not know us. That's what I go to God, okay, 91%. Like, so we're like that group that's like the anomaly, right? Because we would never be the one that when the Pharisees brought the woman who was caught in adultery and they said, we caught her, they would never be the ones that have the stones in their hands and throw the stones, right? So many people walk in and out of church every single Sunday with rocks in their hands. We're better. We're more righteous. We have it figured out. A lost and dying world will run from that attitude. They don't care. They want to know that they're loved. They want to know that they're cared for. And they think that God, after 2,000 years of history in a nation that has principles in its foundation that are Christian, they think that we don't care and don't love. And Jesus said, love God, love others. What is the problem? They must not know us. Matthew 5:14 is the name, it's like where we got the name of our church. We are supposed to be people that are overwhelmed by the love of God, that we bring light in a dark world, and we can't be surprised when it's dark. We got to assume darkness. This morning I had to pee, like all the rest of you. And I had the new flashlight thing on my phone, and I used it to go to the bathroom, so I didn't stub my toe. Listen. I don't have to pee right now. That's making me have to pee. We're supposed to be light in this broken, shattered, dark place, mess. Jesus said this to his disciples. So Matthew 4:19, he says, follow me and I'll make you fishers. And then he says, here's what you are. You are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden. You know what the world wants? They want us to shut up. They think we're boring, judgmental. They think that our sins, they think our sins are better than their sins. That's the problem. That's what they think. People just need someone to go, dude, I care about you. Like whatever you're struggling with. You see, one of the things that we've messed up in church leadership, and I believe this, is that we think as pastors, it's our job to tell people what to do. You need to do this. Now you need to do this, and you need to go talk to her, and then you need to go talk to him, and then you need to act this way, and you need to stop doing this, and you need to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And like the job became like, we need to tell people how to act and live and be and whatever. That's not the job. My job is not to tell people how to act. My job is to show people that God loves them and say, here's what happens when the Holy Spirit of God, Christians, you know what happened when you accepted Jesus Christ? God came into your life. He lives inside of you. In the New Testament, he's called the Paraclete, the one that comes alongside another of the same kind. That means it's Jesus in you. You know what that means? That means that if it really happened that you embraced Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit came into your heart, that you will change. I don't have to tell you you have to. I just have to say that Holy Spirit is inside of you and he's leading you. And when the Holy Spirit is inside of you, there's this thing called the fruit of the Spirit, and you will start to mature. You will start to change. And as a pastor, when the struggles between what the Holy Spirit inside of you is saying and what is happening all around you get confusing, I can say, here's the path. Jesus. This represents the Holy Spirit. This doesn't. As you have a sinful and carnal mind and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you and there's a transformation that takes place. But it's our job to show people that that is possible. You are the light of the world. Dude, I am. Are you guys, can you tell I'm fired up? Am I sweating? I am jacked up. It's not good enough to start a church and have a blank page. It's not. It's to be on the same page. And if we're going to grow, if we're going to reach Columbus, if we're going to show people that Jesus loves them, if we're going to multiply, if we're going to be the church, be the light of the world, we have to be on the same page. We have to be on the same page. Our job is to follow so we can fish. It's to grow deep into our relationship with Jesus together for the purpose of fishing for the people that aren't a part of us. That's why we grow, to bring glory to God by seeing other people turn into followers of Jesus. That's the point. What do you think, that you're going to stand up at some Bible quiz thing and that's the point? Just go, see, he won the Bible quiz. He is flipping smart. That was my point. I wanted people to be smart. He said, I want people to love. Jesus, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. Are you ready to empty yourself? Are you ready to, like, just start thinking that way? And I know that as we talk about that, it's going to leak out and you're going to forget. But are you ready from this moment forward to start thinking about what maturity really is? That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm redefining the target again and again and again. We follow so we can fish. We need to encounter people so we can lead them into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to pass these buckets right now, and we're going to take the offering. And I want you to just sit down for a minute, and I'm going to pray. And Jeff and these guys are going to come out, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to lead us in a song where we talk about how much God loves us. And so I just want to sit in that. I just want to sit in that for about 7 minutes. And this is a time to remember, this is a time to think about how much God loves us and how he has allowed us to be a part of this glorious thing called the local church. So let's pray, and then when I'm done praying, stay seated until Jeff or you guys are just ready to stand up. Let's pray. Father, we follow you so we can fish. We're supposed to be captivated by how much you loved us, and you came to us in the midst of our brokenness and our sin, and you met us there, and you loved us. God, I just thank you so much for doing that. I am sorry that I forget what you're really about. I am sorry that I let this become about me sometimes. God, please change my heart so I can consider constantly the crisis, and that I can be a part of the solution. Father, you are amazing. We love you. And we know we can't love you perfectly, but we're trying, we're growing, we're pushing, we're listening right now. Change us. Change us today. Change our spirit. Change our attitude. Thank you.